Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before. And today we're here with Cassandra.
Hey.
Angus.
Hello.
Baylor.
Oh, I'm quite pretty.
Mackenzie.
Hi.
Lisa.
Oh, loving doobly.
That's oh my god.
The movie!
No, it's a reference. It's a reference to Arrested Development, but I parody it.
I can't reference something I've never seen.
And there's Jeanette.
Hi.
I'm Justin, and today we're watching Love, actually.
Yes.
The classic television show.
Love, Actually. I actually know nothing about this
really?
Movie.
Wow.
But this is special, so we're not watching a TV program.
It's Christmas.
This is Christmas, technically. A bit late.
Yeah. It's still Christmas. Christmas.
It's the 12 days. 12
days
of Christmas.
Yeah. Tudor Christmas.
Yeah, the 12th day of Christmas.
Yeah,
and the
6th of the cult TV club gave to me.
Yeah. And yeah, it's like, we can just pretend that we're still using the Julian calendar, where it's still...
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know you didn't ask, but I'm just going
to... I was about to.
...straight in.
Oh. Yeah.
Are you the Love Actually expert?
What is Love Actually?
I am the Love Actually expert. Okay, so this starts 5 weeks before Christmas, and it follows 8 different couples through their kind of lead up to Christmas.
Yeah.
And I brought this movie because I'm going to go on the touchy-feely side first. I brought this movie because it's very nostalgic. My mum used to, she probably still does, admittedly, I don't know, but she used to watch it every Christmas. And initially I was like, ugh, and then I watched it. And I was like, this is brilliant. It is absolutely brilliant. You get a Mr. Darcy moment. You get all those cliche romantic moments. And it's so enjoyable. It kind of is, to me, the spirit of Christmas, because it's just got all those good feelings that you should feel. And then, yeah, it's got some kind of hostile moments as well, where it's like, will they, won't they? But showcasing love. That's what it's doing. It's showing you what love looks like in all its different forms.
Some of which are not so pretty. It's a bit cynical in places, too.
Yeah.
Oh, what? So, Jeanette, you've watched it as well?
Yes.
Yeah, I got Jeanette to watch it.
I see.
Yeah. And Angus. So,
Is it just you and I?
I think we...
Oh, Mackenzie hasn't watched it either.
My mum also watches it, so I haven't seen it all the way from beginning to end in one go. But I know the plot line, I know most of the scenes, but I haven't actually seen the movie from start to end.
Okay.
But so I know the plot line, I know what happens, and I know a few of the other plot lines that I hadn't actually seen. So I almost seen the movie, but not quite, technically.
That's fair. Mm.
So yeah, I know it goes on.
It's got a pretty baller cast as
Yes.
The cast looks really good.
Yeah. From Hugh Grant, Liam Neeson, Colin Firth, Laura Linney, Emma Thompson, Alan Rickman, Keira Knightley, Martin
We can skip that name, we don't know.
Martin, yep.
Sorry, Martin.
Or it's Martin, I don't know. Bill Nye and Rowan Atkinson.
There's a few that were missed there too.
Yeah.
What's his McCutcheon. Name?
This is just the Wikipedia stuff.
Yeah.
Martin McCutcheon. She was a pop singer in a girl band.
Mm.
And this was her movie breakout. Who's the guy from Walking Dead is in it? You said Keira Knightley.
Yeah, from Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Chris Marshall, I think.
Chris Marshall.
Yeah, I already got
that. Who's the little boy and he's now grown up?
Oh, he's...
But these are the people that are kind of showcased on your little gift wrap box.
Yeah.
Of Love, Actually.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I have tried... When did this movie come out?
2003.
I've been trying it for 22 years now to try and avoid watching this movie. And today is the day I'm watching it. Yeah. I've never been interested in this movie.
Oh, this show is
really good. You got sick and watched romances 2 years ago. Get out of here. Get out of here.
If that movie... They were Christmas romance movies. God. Yeah, they were those really basic.
You've got no reason.
If this movie had been around when I was deliriously sick and watching those movies, I probably would have watched it then. But I feel like my best mate, shout out Mel... When I told her what I was doing today, and I said that she couldn't believe that I'd never watched it before, and then she went, well, I guess it's not not problematic. Oh, no, yeah. She said, I guess it's not unproblematic, but it's very cute. Yes. So that's what I'm going with. I feel like the things that I've always been told about this movie is always seems to be the problematic stuff.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's certain scenes in this movie about Emma Thompson, and I feel like I'm already getting angry thinking about them, and I feel like I might storm out of the room when it happens.
Those scenes are displayed in a way that's like, this is a shit thing to do.
Yes! Because yes! And I feel like it's going to trigger me.
It's problematic. It's that it's just a villainous moment.
Yeah. Because Emma Thompson's wonderful and she must be protected at all costs.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that it's...
Yeah.
Kenzie's going to wrap me up in a blanket and take me home now.
I think overall it's a good display of people, though.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Even the more triggering sides of it, it's just... It's very kind of naked in a way. Of just this is
people. Sorry.
Spoiler. Oh my god.
I think it's really lovely that I'm sharing this for the first time with you guys.
Yeah.
I think it's really apt.
Yeah.
Especially when this is usually a show where, you know, there's lots of these ones that I've already seen before, or I know enough about them.
Yeah.
This is something I've actively avoided watching for so long.
Yeah.
This is a safe space.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. There's a lot of stuff that's aged terribly, and there's a few things that are treated romantically and sweetly, even though they're not.
Yes.
But there's still enough sweet stuff in there that it's like, ah. Oh. And also, as I mentioned before, the girl who plays Joanna, Olivia Olson, went on to voice Marceline the Vampire Queen.
Oh, Marceline.
Yes. So
I love
she's your favourite, isn't she, from Adventure Time? Is it?
We're talking to Mackenzie.
Yes.
Up top.
Yes.
So yeah. Of course, my kid's favourite character from Adventure Time is the goth vampire.
Yes.
So,
yeah. Anybody's. Yeah. Basically,
if you don't love goth women at all ever in your life, you are dead on the inside.
Yes.
Like.
Yeah. So basically,
Oh, no, goth women tend to be dead on the outside.
Yeah. So basically, Joanna.
Yeah, they look beautiful.
Yeah.
Sorry, Cass.
No, just saying. Yeah. So Joanna, the one who plays her, girl who plays her, goes on to voice. Am I slaying the Vampire Queen?
That's
so it's an actress.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Fun
fact of the day.
Of course, we've got a hobbit in it as well.
Oh, yeah,
he's an actor. He's great. He meets the love of his life.
In a way which...
Don't spoil it.
I'm not spoiling
it's
it. It's
great.
Yes. It's cute, but
it's great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Hobbit.
Anyway.
Which hobbit? What?
Martin Freeman.
Bilbo
Baggins.
I do not remember him in this movie.
Okay.
He's a stand-in double for someone in the movie.
Oh, okay.
Let's watch the movie. I feel like the more spoilers the more I'm likely to go, you know what, I don't need to watch it now, I'm just going.
You're sure you just can't do Die Hard instead?
Next year.
It's also got Alan Rickman in it.
I guess on the plus side, this was Baylor's choice. My choice was Pee Wee's Christmas special. So,
Lisa, you're going to love this.
Oh my God, how many years before Die Hard? It's just not right.
Getting Alan Rickman, what's the problem?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, well,
I guess we'll get on and watch it.
You're going to feel it in your fingers and your bones, my friend. Let's get to it. I'm pumped!
Most excited I've ever seen you in a recording, Baylor. This is incredible. Mm. I'm doing the deadpan thing today. Yeah. Christmas is all around me.
And so the feeling grows. Okay, that was Love Actually. What did people think?
Yeah, it's kind of weird because, like I said before, I've seen most of the movie, but in bits and pieces. So having it joined together is kind of weird, especially the way certain plot lines. It's like, I know about Jamie and Aurelia, or like, say, Sam and his stepdad, and all this, and certain plot lines I'm very familiar with, but others, not so much. I don't know, I think we'll have this as a discussion rather than just me opinionating, but it's like, some of those plot lines really have aged terribly.
Yeah.
Some are good, it's a mixed bag.
Yeah, I think, I guess, the kind of out-of-production fact that Keira Knightley... He's like, what, 17 or something like that?
She's 17.
And the production of that really adds to that age badly.
The guy who plays her husband, he's only like 25, 26. So
that's
Andrew Lincoln.
See?
It's a bit like, I kept looking at going,
well, she's not playing a 17-year-old, really.
Yes, but
she looks younger than 17.
Yeah, she looked younger.
Yeah. It's like, sure, she might be playing someone who's not 17, but she looks 15, so it doesn't make it better.
Look, the logistics of it to me, and the way that I'm able to watch that storyline and enjoy it, is the fact that you have 25-year-olds playing teenagers at that time. I mean,
it's a reverse of
it. It was not surprising, but at the same time, women in those roles, and I guarantee for Keira Knightley as well, but what's the name of the actress from Stranger Things?
Oh,
Millie Bobby Brown. Any girl in the early 2000s was immediately, if they were under the age of 17 and they were hot and they were child actors, they were put on a time frame.
Yeah.
And there would be a countdown clock for when they were legal.
Yeah, I hated that.
You're saying is this era was a problematic era.
Yeah.
I feel like the best way to give credit is they had so many top tier actors in this movie that they want, and so it's almost like they had a list of all of these actors that they wanted to be in it, and Keira Knightley was on that list, but who could she have played? Which character could she have played in that, in any of those roles? She couldn't play the stand-in, that was too explicit. She couldn't play the secretary because she always had that sweet, and she still probably does, she definitely has that sweet innocent aura about her. Really, it's like, we want to get Keira Knightley because she is top tier, she's one of our A-list actresses, starlets, whatever. That's the only role we can put her in. And I do feel like there was a lot of parts that were perfect for the roles, and there was a lot where it's like, we just want these really great actors. Yeah. Let's find somewhere to stuff them in.
I suspect they probably developed the script a little bit around the actors.
I think so, definitely. Yeah. Hugh Grant, for instance, was written for Hugh Grant.
Yeah.
He was perfect in the role.
Yeah. I mean, there's no evidence for that. But
But there's definitely things like, you know, Hugh Grant being caught on screen. That was a definite reference to his background. Colin Firth in the lake scene was a reference.
Yeah, that's the best slant I could put on that, because I just kept looking at that going,
feels a bit.
I'm trying to find the right word without sounding crass, but
Liam Neeson's kid would have been about 12 at time of filming.
So
13 when the movie came out,
because he looks young, like you said. He was 13 younger, but obviously looked younger. She was 17, so it was only 4 years difference between the little boy and her.
It would have been very awkward though if Keira Knightley was the one boarding the aeroplane and then chasing after him at the end to give him a kiss.
There was only it'd be interesting to know how the girl was that he was chasing after in comparison, but the guy that Keira Knightley got married to, I can't remember his name, but he's incredible actor. And there was 8 years difference between them, 12 years, 13 years difference. He was 31 and she was 17. So 13, 14 years,
I think in terms of story, though, it is quite enjoyable. The elephant in the room that I do want to talk about, though, is societal expectations and standards for women during this time.
Yes, definitely.
So the reason that the secretary was constantly called an elephant, had chubby because Keira Knightley was the standard. Yeah. And you could see how thin and slender she was and how this other woman wasn't. And so it was very much a commentary and example of what it used to be.
Are you saying they're saying doing it satirically? I don't really feel like they are.
No, I don't think they're doing it satirically.
They're being honest.
But I think that the take back at looking at it now is very much a, we can see that she's not fat. We can see that the secretary is not fat. We can see what negative body imagery looks like nowadays. And the issue is that we're starting to flip back into that body imagery with, like, Wicked and the way that those actors were treated. And so this is kind of a good story in a way to kind of go, this is bad. We don't want to go back this way.
Yeah.
It's a nice story, but it's also got red flags that are very good examples of what we don't want to see going
forward. I just found it really bewildering. Yeah. I guess not knowing it, not expecting it, and then they kept making fat comments, and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
She's a very attractive lady, and she's not a big lady in any sense of the word. And she wouldn't have been back then either.
No.
Yeah, no.
She is not. So she was a...
Yes, she was.
She was in the sense of, your Keira Knightley's, your Kate Mosses. Who was the other? There was a... it was all of that kind of... I mean, what do they call it? Heroin chic, you know? Sizing was really big back then. That was
massive back then.
Yeah.
And, like, I back then was probably closer to her size, and I was being told that I was fat by friends, family, things like that. So it's like, that was expected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right?
I was probably bigger than her when I was that. Yeah. And I was going to say, I'm probably the same age as her, because this was 2003.
Yeah.
I would have been 22, 23 when this came out. Mm. But, you know, I feel like I dress, for lack of a better word, not that I'm saying I'm a sexy dresser, but I probably dress sexier now than I did in my 20s, probably because of that.
Yeah.
Because nothing was flattering.
Yes.
And that's the thing, is, like, it's very much a commentary on where everything was. I think at the end, Hugh Grant saying, oh, man, you're so heavy. I don't actually think that's him being mean. I think that's him trying to make a joke of what everybody else has been saying to her, because he looks at her and goes, you are beautiful. She's just jumped into his arms. I wouldn't be surprised if they had that scripted for a thin person, admittedly. But
although there's times when other people comment on her size and his face is like,
I think that is more a joke at the end, just with the context clues of everything else, because he doesn't think she's fat. He thinks she's beautiful. No. He's a posh boy that's fallen in love with an absolute chav, right?
Yeah, that's the...
And I think that
he's literally the only working class person in the whole film.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And the waitress, the Portuguese
waitress.
Oh, true. Yeah.
And they're the two relationships, I think, that carry the film.
The two male actors are the ones that carry the film.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Oh. Okay.
I do have to say, I really like the non-conventional love relationships in that sense of.
Yes.
I actually really like the rapport between Liam Neeson and Thomas Sangster.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of sweet, you know? And it's I don't like the idea of him 5 weeks after his mum's funeral going, go for it, ask her out. Like, that's a bit weird. Yeah. And I think even his face was kind of like, no. It was like, oh, she looks like Claudia Schiffer, but no. But I did like that.
Was that the joke?
That was because
he kept saying, what's her name?
I whispered to Mackenzie and I went, you know how he keeps saying, oh, unless Claudia Schiffer comes and wants to be with me type of thing, that is Claudia Schiffer. Who was a really famous model back in the 90s. She was like one of the supermodels. Right. Okay. So she's Swedish, I think. Yeah.
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 Very Swedish.
Or German or something like that.
Yeah.
We also don't know the context on how long they've been together, things like that. He was a stepfather to the kid.
Yeah.
5 weeks, regardless.
Yeah. No, 5 weeks is a little bit fast. But
since the funeral, though, so, I mean, not that it helps, but like.
But we're looking at like a month after that, so what are we looking at? About 9 weeks later. So
The funeral was the beginning of the movie.
I realise that, but at the 1 month later after the 5 weeks.
Oh, they were together. I forgot about that. Yeah. I was just saying about the fact that the idea of them even dating, but they could be friends.
In all seriousness, he may not have just jumped straight in. I know that the movie implies that is the happily ever after because that's how romances are written.
I actually feel like they said 1 month later, it would have actually made a lot more sense for most of those situations to have been 6 months later or a year later.
The following Christmas.
I reckon every single one of those situations were way too fast for a month, you know? The other one I really liked, sorry, and I know no, I'm no, talking
no,
a lot,
no.
the other one I really liked is where Laura Linney had the opportunity to have the romance with a co-worker, but she prioritised her brother.
Yeah.
In this, it was sad.
Yeah.
It was sad, but it was kind of... Yeah, that was a really difficult one.
It's showcasing love.
That's it. I like that that was an unconventional form of love. Yeah, but it's sad that she never puts herself... Like, she's obviously not someone who would put herself first, but at the end of the day, she picks her brother over... You know, I think we were even... Was it you that was saying, Mackenzie, like, why are you even picking the phone up? You know, and it's just because it's her brother and...
He needs her and he's vulnerable. Yeah.
And he was in psychosis by the sounds of it.
Acting like a typical only child there, Mackenzie. Not understanding simply love at all.
When your parents are in a home, they would literally be yelling at you across the table during a podcast going, no, why are you answering your phone for your mother?
And she's very much this day and age where she's like, healthy boundaries. Yes. Yeah.
But I mean, that's the thing. We have healthy boundaries now. It's great to look back on this and go, oh, I wouldn't have done that.
Also, I think comparing Laura Linney's putting herself behind her brother's knees, comparing it to Emma Thompson putting herself behind everybody else. And I feel like these women need to care for themselves. Because these women are definitely not putting themselves anywhere close to first. And it's really only when she realises she's basically being cheated on is that she starts to fight for herself.
What's the Mr. Darcy act?
Colin Firth.
Yeah. Because his partner at the beginning of the film was putting themselves first. That's
she was coming first. That's something.
Definitely.
Sounds of things first, second, and third before expected to be home.
But yeah, definitely. Like, I would want to, go and hug Linny's character and basically, make her feel loved in her way rather than having to feel as though she needs to choose between this experience and her brother. I'd want to make her...
And I think that's the difference. She didn't put herself first, but she needed to be with someone that would understand enough to be able to go, okay, you need to sort this out and then we'll do it another night. He never did. That opportunity never came back up again. And so I think that would kind of be that deal breaker for her, that it was like...
And it's such a great example of, like, you shouldn't just pick anyone, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I know, Mackenzie, I can see you completely checked out, but at the same time, it's a great thing for a kid to see and just go, this doesn't work for me now, and if you're not willing to compromise, I can't.
And also feels as though, even if it was just like one night of passion and that's all she wanted or needed, that would have been nice for her. Whereas she, I'd want her to be happy in that and have those sort of experiences.
And the stuff that the brother was obviously saying, he was in psychosis, he needed an emergency intervention. It sounds like then afterwards he was in a facility. So because of this, he ended up in the facility, and all he cared about, he's sitting at the end of the bed going, like, ooh, like, dude, you need to hold back.
If it was a true romance, he would have gone, right, let's go, I will pack this for you. But that's not what this story was about. It's proper love, not just, you know.
I feel like, I mean, I knew the part. I almost don't want to talk about it. The stuff with Emma Thompson, Alan Rickman makes me so angry.
Yeah.
But I think the bit that really got me was then they greeted him at the airport and then she was like, let's go home. And I'm like, it's not your home. Yeah. You're not invited. You go to your hotel. Yeah. You're not invited.
I've seen a recent social media thing about that Love Actually scene where he is a bastard and then they go, nope, I'm finishing this movie the right way, and they cut to the end of Die Hard. Was that
Nice.
So Alan Rickman's in Die Hard, and right at the end, he gets pushed off the building, and he's like, "Whoa!"
Spoilers.
Yeah. And that's also a Christmas movie.
It is the other great Christmas movie.
Next year's Christmas movie.
Spoilers for next year.
I did like the scene where Bill Nighy goes back to his manager.
But why didn't he pick up his manager and go, "Come on, mate, we're going to the Elton John party together"?
I don't know.
I think he did realize when he was there.
So he went,
"Nah, this is false."
I need to be with the people who love me unconditionally, and this is the guy who does.
And I like that he didn't say, "You love me unconditionally, I love you unconditionally." I like that you could definitely go into writing fanfic about how Bill Nye's character is, you know, secretly dating women, but in reality he's in love with his producer or his manager. Like, I think that's definitely a possible sideline that you could go with. Like, that's a very open-ended story in reality.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, this is Cheryl. But how are you going, babe?
Yeah.
I asked you. Like, yeah. This is for the press and yeah. my image, but you're for me. I like that possibility.
And yeah. he even said at the beginning of the movie, I'm going to be spending Christmas hanging out with my manager in an empty apartment. Mm. You know, I've got no family. Christmas is about family. And then, yeah, ended up with his manager back at his apartment. From choice, not because he had nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
Because
he realises that's genuine friendship, genuine love. Whether it's love, a friendship or, you know, but it is love.
I'd love to say, like the Grinch, that my heart grew three sizes larger watching that, but it didn't.
It grew three times smaller.
Romantic comedies are not my jam. I'm way too cynical.
Unless when you're sick.
If I was sick and, like, delirious, like I was a couple of years ago, I would have been totally down to watch Love Actually, and I probably would have been crying.
Your delirious brain would have been
Well, if you ever get sick again, you should check out Valentine's Day. It's the American rip-off. And it is factually worse.
Yeah.
It is so much worse.
Honestly feel like, what's his name? Gary, whatever he is, the guy who did Happy Days. He's the guy who does all of those movies. And it's almost like he saw Love Actually and went, yeah, we need one of these for every holiday. And then made about...
Almost certainly.
What is it? It's like there's a New Year's one, there's a Mother's Day one, there's a...
Kenzie, how do you go with it?
I thought it was cool.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was your favourite part?
I don't know.
Yeah. So what were your thoughts on the...
Yeah.
I thought it was cool.
What was your favourite love line? Your love story?
I liked all of them.
Why are you personally super in love with...
Hugh Grant.
Why are you in love with Hugh Grant?
Who's Hugh Grant?
The president.
Prime Minister.
Well, it's because I think that when he was looking at the cards, I think it was really cool. I honestly like the girl in that story more than him.
Get out. Like, she was great, don't get me wrong, but get out.
I loved when he stands up to the US president.
Yeah.
I like when he's dancing. Hugh Grant's amazing.
I think the more appropriate question is, what did you learn about the kid learning the drums? What did you think about the kid learning the drums to impress the girl at school? Would you have been impressed by that?
How did he learn drums and how to do it so well?
He'd been practicing in his room all that time.
Not for 2 weeks.
But it looked like he was doing it 2 weeks non-stop.
It did also look like
if you practiced as much as he did when you play guitar, you'd be a lot better.
If your issue is that, then maybe you should check out Colin Firth's Learning Another Language poorly in a week.
Yeah.
That one kind of irks me. But Movie Magic is
the answer. He does do it
very badly, though, and I love that.
On the same subject, if you think that learning the drums is ridiculous, how did you feel about The Force Awakens, the Star Wars...
We're not doing Star Wars!
The Force and learns how to fight with a lightsaber in 2 days. It's the same thing, right?
Okay.
Drink.
Is there any storylines that really that you felt didn't mesh well or irritated you? Or
what did you think of the World's Greatest Meme scene?
The one with the where he has the big signs and he...
And he's like flipping the signs to Keira Knightley.
I think that was cool, but then also, he's the best friend of her husband.
Yeah.
Why?
Because it is, like I said, it is mentioned early on in the movie that sometimes people have got more than one other soulmate, right? And I do say that in quotation marks. Like, wisdom would state that there's more than one soulmate in this world, so you don't need to think that your only one is within a 500-mile radius. And so I would think that that storyline is literally two people in love with Keira Knightley, potentially quote-unquote soulmates to her, and her picking one and the other one going, well, I mean, that's how it goes. Mm-hmm. And you choosing their happiness over your own. And that's kind of like another level of love for a person.
I think she should pick the one that's already her husband.
No, it's not about her picking. She didn't need to pick.
So she's got to balance both in her
husband.
She made her choice. She married the one that she loves. She's not interested in this other dude.
The best friend
then
is like...
Why did she kiss him?
I think because, it felt like a bit of a consolation kiss. Yeah, I thought it was a bit of a goodbye kiss. And then it kept popping up at the end. And it's like, really, why are you here, mate? It was ultimately at the end when they greeted... Was it Laura Linney's character? They greeted someone. And then suddenly I didn't know you were there. Yes, he's always there.
Steve. Also, the greatest love that you can give to someone else, if you love them and they've decided that they love someone else, is to just let them go.
Yeah.
Just let them go.
Let them be happy.
Yeah, let them be happy. And that's another love line in the story, is just letting someone be happy.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have to choose, and he is doing the, I'm stepping away from this. I needed to tell you, but now that's out there, I'm stepping away from this. So it's like a way for him to go, I don't want you to end anything with this person. I just want to get this off my chest so I'm not carrying this around and don't fall deeper and deeper into a hole of loving you.
Sort of should have just kept it under his chest and not actually spoken to her about it. Yeah. They just wanted the big
crescendo.
Yeah.
But can we talk about the best bit? Which is Rowan Atkinson.
No, it's him at the airport. Randomly showing up.
So, was he purposely trying to cause a distraction for the kid?
It did, but then he made eye contact.
Because then he didn't end up going through anyway.
Yeah, no. So then it's like...
No, it was clearly purposeful because he walked up and was like, oh, it's not in my coat, it's not in my jacket sort of thing. But they clearly got turned away as the kid was like... For love! So it makes sense for him to do it as like a go quickly.
Yeah.
It's almost like he just saw it going on and just decided, I'm going to intercede here.
They needed all of those actors.
We put
Rowan Atkinson. Let's not give him anything with any love story gravitas. Yeah. Let's give him some little...
Unless you give him the Cupid level as like a theory that he was Cupid trying to lead people to the right locations. Him stalling at the jewellery counter was trying to get the husband to stay with his wife and realise that she's the one that he should be with. And then him going, oh, I'm magically here now. You quickly go through the gate. Maybe he is actually there to kind of push these people in the way.
I can imagine Rowan Atkinson as a little bald baby with wings.
It's like a bit of a chaos demon, like Fall of the House of Usher or something, where it's like that demon kind of gives them the opportunities, but it's only them taking the opportunities that causes their death, you know? It's...
Okay.
Oh. Yeah. This has made the movie a lot deeper for me, thanks, guys.
Justin. I know how everyone else feels.
Yeah.
Justin.
It's like most of these kinds of things. It's all predictable. You can see it all coming.
Yeah.
And you just sort of watch and go, And that kind of thing does affect me as I feel the emotional rush.
You have emotions?
Oh my God. So that set off Justin's emotional center. It set off my cynical center.
But, you're sort of going, it's all very contrived.
You greatly enjoyed the Rowan Atkinson bit.
I enjoyed
bits. But to be fair, the Rowan Atkinson bit was great.
Angus, how did you feel about it?
It's not... I don't think I'd watch it again, though. It doesn't sort of capture...
I wouldn't watch it again. It's a one-and-done sort of thing. Yeah. That's understandable.
Yeah. Except for those of us in the room who watch it every year at Christmas time. So then it's not one-and-done.
What do you think?
I've seen it before. I admittedly quite liked it the first time I saw it. Quite liked it this time, too. Honestly, it is just kind of one of those movies, but as far as those movies, like romance movies go... It's not done poorly.
Except a couple of music. Music was getting me this time. I don't like the music. And that was actually ruining a lot of the
I think
film
some of the music is okay. When they actually get some of the pop chart music in, like, what's the one that's I Am What I Am, I Do What I Want, But I Won't Cry?
It's Dido?
It is Dido, yeah. Like, when they get in Dido, that's a nice breakup, but I completely agree with you.
Yeah.
I think the movie is kind of perfect for the music in the way Justin was describing it seconds ago, where it's kind of contrived and everything's just, like, a little bit cheesy and over the top. And
the music is cheesy.
The music is so Christmas cheesy music. It really is.
It overloads the cheesiness of it. I think with that, with better sound music track...
I don't think you can do Christmas music that's not cheesy. I think at this point, Christmas music is just, it's the worst.
It's cheese already.
Yeah. Also, I have to mention, I hate the Colin plotline. It's just, he's an ass, and the ending's unrealistic completely. Then the guy goes to America.
Colin.
Oh, not Colin Firth.
No, not Colin Firth, the character Colin who's played by...
I actually thought he would get robbed and left.
Yeah, I was looking forward to that. Realistic ending? No, it's just the four most beautiful women in America.
He's such a creepy dude.
It's that idealised thing.
But
he's working class. There you go, that's the working class relationship.
Yeah, a selfish wanker.
All of his friends and family and everyone he interacts with aren't, so he's like...
He's unlikable, and the plotline's unrealistic. I hated it.
There was nothing redeemable about that particular plotline.
So I just had to get off my chest because... I think I was screaming in pain every single time he was on screen.
It was a bit yuck.
Sorry.
It's okay.
Exercise.
Yeah.
What food would you rate it? Angus?
Well, you've just kind of reminded me of the Colin plotline, so now I've just got this sour taste in my mouth. I want to despitefully say pavlova because I hate pavlova, which is a very Australian thing that most people probably
don't. So you need something English.
Yeah.
I don't know. No, I don't mind probably 6 out of 8 of the storylines. Maybe
English hot noodles. But like the curry hot pot noodles?
No, it's got to be something overly sweet. Completely covered in cream.
Yeah. So what's that? Figgy pudding because it's a Christmas episode.
A Christmas trifle.
Probably something like that. Or just generally mince pies. Mince pies are very sweet.
And it has lots of different things in it.
Yeah. It's very much a mess of fruit and... sugar. You would love mince pies, of course, no doubt.
Yes, I do. But just before you were talking, I was thinking, what's an English food? And you know what the first thing was that popped in my mind?
What was that?
Mince pies.
Oh,
yeah. Yes. This obviously means that you are now a mind reader.
Yeah.
So. One of us.
I would personally go with Jaffa cakes.
No.
Because a good little biscuit that you can dunk in a bit of tea sort of thing, you can leave it out, it can go a bit stale, but it's still good.
Like a chocolate orange.
I like a bit of chocolate orange.
Yeah. Oh,
there's nothing wrong with a bit of chocolate orange.
Kenzie was telling me, because we've been watching Stranger Things, she's been telling me about the English version of Stranger Things that she's been enjoying. What's it called?
A bit odd, isn't it?
It's been a bit of a joke in our house at the moment. I think I'm seeing the writing.
It's really weird when you're trying to circumnavigate the memes with Stranger Things at the moment, and then it will come up on the screen and then she'll whisper it. I'm like, oh my god, you've been seeing the same memes I have. Anyway, back to Love Actually.
I think that's a good place to wrap up.
Happy
Christmas. Thank you all for watching my terrible, terrible movie. I look forward to it being most of everybody's hated film.
No, I don't think it will be. It's just not my cup of tea.
I definitely think it will be, Mum.
Yeah.
No, but not everyone. It's just not my cup of tea.
Next year, the rest of us are bringing bangers, right? right, everyone?
No, I'm bringing terrible stuff this year. I got a plan.
I'm bringing Star Trek this year, so I'm only bringing bangers.
A lot of people watch Love Actually as a comfort film, and it's that's not my type of comfort film.
No.
My type of comfort film is like
Twilight.
We know you, Lisa. It's okay. You can be honest.
It's another vampire movie that's my comfort film. What We Do in the Shadows. I love that movie.
Oh, yes.
And Clue and things like another one. There's
well,
a
we
few
haven't
movies
seen Clue yet. So.
I know.
Yeah,
we'll Clue.
Might have to do it.
Yes. Yeah.
So that was the Cult TV Club.
Yay.
Goodbye.
Yay.
Bye.
Merry Christmas.